Show Must Go On, a serial in 8 episodes by Gerald Werner, with interpolated numbers by Edward J. Mason and Basil Hempseed. Episode 5, From Under the Door.
Who's there?
And the thousand national stocks that led you there.
Stop it. Stop this stupid nonsense.
But I,
who's there? Who's there? Tangi! Tangi! What's happened to her? Tangi! Tangi, why don't you answer? Where are you? Tangi! Tangi! Tangi!
Have you
seen a girl leave here, Constable?
A girl?
Yes, have you seen her?
I haven't seen anybody. I found this here door open and I heard shouting.
Well, she must still be in the building.
Look here. What's all this about, eh? Who is this girl? And what are you doing here?
I belong to the show that's opening here.
Oh, you do, do you?
Yes.
What's your name?
Gilbert, Keith Gilbert. Don't waste time asking silly questions, ma'am. We've got to find Miss Ward. She must be here somewhere.
Just a minute. I want to get the hang of this.
Oh.
It may be all right, but it seems queer to me.
But I...
What was you and this girl doing here at this time of night?
I saw a light in here, a torch flickering. We came out to see what it was.
Oh. How did you get in? Did you have a key?
No, the stage door was open. Look, we've got to find Miss Ward.
Now, don't you be in a hurry.
But... It may be serious, don't you understand?
You saw a light, you said.
Yes.
Who was in here?
Oh, I don't know. We didn't see anybody. I left Miss Ward just inside their door to the stage while I put the pilot light on. When I looked around, she disappeared. Oh, stop wasting time, man. Let's look for her. She must be here.
Keith.
Angie. What? Darling, where are you?
I'm here.
Tangi, oh, where have you been? What happened?
I don't know. I was waiting for you to put the light on, and then something hit me.
Hit you?
My head hurts terribly.
Yeah, you look pretty bad, miss. You better sit down here for a bit.
Sit here, darling, on the steps. That's right. Now, lean against me.
My head. Oh, it's dreadfully sore.
Let me have a look. You have had a nasty bash, and no mistake, miss. Well, the skin ain't broke, but there's a nasty lump.
Tangi, did you see anyone?
No, I didn't see anything. I was just standing there when an awful pain suddenly shot through my head.
Oh, poor darling.
I don't remember anything more until I found myself lying behind some scenery.
I didn't see anyone either. Whoever it was must be still here somewhere.
Oh! What was that?
Stage door. Somebody shut.
It's locked.
Locked?
Yes, somebody went out and locked it from the outside. The person, whoever it was, will hit this wall.
Fair, Inspector.
Very, Mr. McDonald.
There's no reasonable explanation for all these things that keep happening.
Well, it looks to me as if the reopening of the theater had interfered with somebody's plan. What plan, I can't tell you. That message on the door of your flat, Mr. Gilbert. I wish you'd tell me about that before, by the way. And all these other things seem to suggest someone is trying to scare you.
Make us give up the Regency, you mean?
Yes.
But why?
Well, I'd very much like to know myself.
The only person I can think of who'd like to scare you away from the Regency is Isabel Maine.
I've considered her. She could have a duplicate key, too.
Oh, but surely she couldn't have killed her own son.
Well, I wouldn't like to swear to that, Miss Ward.
Oh, no, it's a horrible idea.
Well, you can't tell what anyone in her unbalanced state of mind might do. She was very upset about Alexander letting you have the theater, wasn't she?
Yes, and she warned us there was danger and death there. But I can't think she'd go to the length of murder. Besides, how could she? She's only able to walk with the help of a stick.
Yes, that's true. Did you know the stick she uses was a sword stick?
A sword stick?
Yes, it belonged to her husband.
But Maine was killed with that knife.
Well, we can't definitely tell that.
It wasn't a woman's voice I heard last night at the Regency.
Ah, no, I was coming to that, Mr. Gilbert. This voice. It was reciting a speech from Hamlet, you say.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like? What kind of voice?
The man's voice, an actor's.
Have you any idea whereabouts in the theater it came from?
No, it seemed to fill the whole place. It was probably due to the echo, of course.
Would you say that this voice bore any resemblance to Castleton Maine's?
That I couldn't tell you. Before my time, Inspector.
Oh, yes, of course, and mine too.
You're not suggesting there was something supernatural about it, Inspector?
Oh, no, but you'll agree that there's been a lot of Castleton Maine about this business. And I was just wondering, you never saw anybody, Mr. Gilbert?
No.
Nor you, Miss Ward?
No, just as if the roof had fallen on me.
The person who hit you must have been hiding just by the door leading to the stage. Yes. When Mr. Gilbert put the light on, you'd have seen who it was, so they had to do it.
Here are the contracts you asked for, Mr. MacDonald.
Oh, thank you, Miss Winter.
Oh, Miss Winter.
Yes, Inspector?
You remember telling me about the man who came to this office and left that knife the day Mr. Maine was murdered?
It was no man, Inspector. Men can't make themselves invisible. Not while they're alive.
I see you're quite convinced it was a ghost, Miss Winter. But there was nothing ghostly about the knife, was there? That was real enough. I've got it at the yard now.
Yes. That was real enough.
What I wanted to ask you about this man, I don't think I did before, was could he have been made up in any way? Disguised, I mean.
He wasn't, Inspector.
You're quite sure of that?
Quite sure.
Thank you, Miss Winter. That's all I wanted to ask. Well, I won't bother you anymore, gentlemen. I'll just go and have a word with Mrs. Isabel Maine, I think.
I doubt if you'll find it very profitable, Inspector.
I have to do a lot in my job that isn't very profitable. But sometimes you strike lucky when you least expect it.
Oh, Inspector Hinton.
Hmm?
Don't you think we ought to have a new lock put on the stage door of the theatre?
A new lock? No, I don't think you should. It would be a pity to keep this intruder out. The next time he comes, we might be there to welcome him.
I told you before, Inspector Hinton, it's useless asking me questions. I can tell you nothing. You're only wasting your time.
Surely you're as anxious as we are to find the person who killed your son, Mrs. Maine.
My son was not killed by a person. Unless the evil gathered in that old building assumed a human shape for its purpose. I warned Alexander what would happen.
Oh, so I've heard, Mrs. Maine. But how did you know anything would happen?
Because it happened before. It's still there. The same evil that killed my husband.
Your husband was killed by an actor called Marsden.
Marsden? He was only the instrument. When it had used him, the evil sent him mad and he died. But the evil continued.
You had no other reason for believing that something would happen if the Regency Theatre was reopened, Mrs. Maine? No other reason than this?
What other reason is necessary? Isn't it enough? Hasn't it proved to be true?
Oh, I suppose it has, in a way. Before your son opened the theatre, Mrs. Maine, somebody else had been there quite a number of times. Are you quite sure there are no other keys?
Stop, I will answer no more questions. What is the use? There are things you don't understand. Things you will never understand.
I'm trying to understand them, Mrs. Maine. Somebody is still using the Regency Theatre for some purpose. Somebody who has no right to be there. They were there again last night. A girl was attacked.
Oh, the fools, the fools! Why don't they go? I warned them that they wouldn't listen. Why don't they leave the place and shut it up again? There will be nothing but trouble until they do.
But why? Tell me why, Mrs. Maine.
Oh, go away and leave me alone. What's the use of asking me all these questions? You won't believe what I tell you. You think you don't know what I'm talking about, don't you? But I do. You're all blind, blind, blind.
Call me, dearie.
Dubby, take that man away. Take him away. I can't stand him anymore.
Why can't you leave her alone? Hasn't she had enough trouble without you coming here, pestering her with questions? She can't help you, and it only makes her bad.
Go away, go away.
I'm going now. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Maine. I'm sorry.
I'll see you out, Inspector. I shall have trouble with her now.
Mrs. Duppy, perhaps you can help me. Do you know if there are any other keys to the Regency Theatre besides those Mr. Maine had?
I couldn't tell you. There may be. There are no keys here.
Does Mrs. Maine go out at all, by herself?
Sometimes. Not very often. She's not very strong. When she goes out, I nearly always go with her.
But not always.
No, not always. Sometimes she takes a little walk in the afternoon.
Have you ever known her go out at night?
At night? Good gracious me, what a thing to ask. Of course not.
Would you know if she did?
She doesn't. Whatever would she want to go out at night for?
I only asked if she ever did, Mrs. Duffy. Oh, goodbye. I'm sorry to have had to trouble you again.
Goodbye. Duffy.
Duffy. Come here.
I'm coming, dearie.
You didn't tell him anything, Duffy. You didn't tell him anything.
No, dearie. Don't worry yourself.
That's right, Duffy. They mustn't find out, must they? They mustn't find out. Where did you hide the key, Duffy?
And so I'm asking you, would you care to share a dream?
Oh, good. That's all much
right.
Better.
No, that's
open, our girl.
Thank you very much.
Sandy.
Hello.
May I hear that boogie-woogie number of yours while we still have the drummer on tap?
Yes, of course. We've just been working it out. I think my head'll stand.
Oh, fine. Come on then, let's go.
Okay.
There's a guy up in the attic who is never, never static. He is driving me emphatically nuts. Though I'm usually gentle and a trifle sentimental, I could do things oriental to his guts. He's a drummer in a dance band. He's been practicing a rhythm now for days. It isn't human for any woman to go on putting up with the noises he plays. He calls it boogie, a boogie woogie. He wouldn't play a sweet sonata or a fugue. Has to be that irritating, aggravating, syncopating type of music known as boogie. When I say Louis, his name is Louis. When I say Louis, stop it, please, he answers Louis and starts beating. I ain't sleeping, I ain't eating, keep repeating, and my brain is going screwy. I'm so sweet, I'm sweet. I say, please go and live down the street. He says, I'm next, baby, next. Boy, I'd like to tell him what to do with his sticks and his boogie woogie, because I know that I'll go quite insane. I shall blow him to blazes with my grandpa's shotgun if he beats a dead boogie again.
Down the street, he says, I'm Nix, baby, Nix. Oh, boy, would I like to tell him what he can do with those sticks and his boogie, because I know that I'll go quite insane. I'm gonna get me and his gun, and I'll blow him to flazes if it's Peter than boogie
Well, Ronnie, we're not doing so badly.
No. I say, when do we get the scenery in?
On Thursday. And that gives us a week before we open.
Good.
From tomorrow on, I'm going to start rehearsing the show right through in its proper sequence. By the end of the week, we ought to get some idea of the time.
Do you think we'll have to cut anything?
Oh, if we do, I'd like to cut that sketch in the second half, the skit on the Atom Age.
Well, I must say, I think that's rather the week's part.
Well, I'm glad you agree. It's a pity, but...
Have you heard about Chad, dear Mr. Gilbert?
Yes, I'm not surprised. That little romance is sticking out a mile.
Yeah, I wonder who'll be next. These things always go in threes, don't
What's
they?
What's on your mind, Nutty? Mrs. Sheringham.
Oh, lovey. Carving your name in rot with chewing gum would be easier than making any impression on her.
What is it, Victor?
That chap's Savnik. I thought I ought to tell you.
Well?
He was telephoning just now from his box by the stage door, and I happened to catch part of what he was saying. He said, I've nothing to report.
That's funny. Nothing to report.
I didn't.
To whom?
I didn't hear any more. He saw me and hung up. There's another thing. You know how he speaks normally?
Yeah.
Well, when he spoke on the phone, his voice was quite educated.
Oh, thanks, Victor. Keep an eye on him, will you? If you spot anything else, let me know.
Okay, Mr. Brett.
I say, that's queer, isn't it? Did Savinek explain why he said he came from McDonald's when he didn't?
Yes, he said he thought we'd be more likely to give him the job.
Yeah, do you believe it?
I did, but now, well, I don't know.
I think we ought to tell Inspector Hinton.
Yes, I'll telephone him when we break for lunch. But we'd better get on with it now. All right, everybody. Everybody on the stage for the bathing number, please. Come on stage. Come along, please. Hurry along, girls. Right.
I saw the bodies in bathing suits that advertise seaside resorts. Lovingly sliding down water shoes, indulging in rollicking sports. Blackpool and Bournemouth and Morecambe Bay use us to attract new recruits.
Our photos are taken engaging in tussles designed to exhibit my biceps and muscles.
And to prove that my figure's not unlike Jane Russell's
when we're in our bathing suits.
Now, just about this time of year, you'll find us causing quite a stir on every beach or seaside bathing pool.
You'll see us in the daily press, attired in half a yard or less of nylon or of cotton or of wool.
We arouse great admiration and the vilest of temptation in most every male and female heart and head.
If Shakespeare could have seen us, then the ode he wrote to Venus and Adonis would have been to us instead. Oh,
All the bodies in bathing suits that boldly show most of our form, and tell you that Keithorpe's talk here in Skegness are healthy and bracing and warm. Buxom and bronze with a healthy tan will radiate happiness.
As we gamble robustly in true British fashion, John Strachey looks at us with undisguised passion.
And straightway knocks couple more off the meat ration.
I told you that Lemoire model would do the trick, didn't I, Angie?
Well, I don't think it was entirely the dress, Missy.
No, well, I don't suppose it was entirely, darling. I expect you had something to do with it. Anyway, I'm really awfully glad.
Thanks. Have some more coffee.
Just half a cup. How's your head?
Oh, it's still a little sore.
Not the ideal ending to an evening of romance. I wonder what can be going on in that theatre, Angie.
I don't know.
Well, you wouldn't get me in there all alone for all the money in the world. You've absolutely no idea who hit you.
Not the least. I didn't see anything.
I can't think why anyone should want to go fooling about in a theatre at that time of night. There's no money or anything valuable there.
Anyway, a burglar wouldn't recite a speech from Hamlet.
Oh, look, there's Victor Price.
Oh, oh, yeah. Oh, he's seen us. He's coming over.
Hello, girls.
Hello.
Do you mind if I sit down?
No, we'll be going in a minute. We've had our lunch.
How did you get on at the dressmaker's? Are the dresses all right?
All except two. They're making some alterations to those. I've got to go back this afternoon.
What are they like?
Oh, they're lovely.
All mine have to be altered. I'm not as big as Madeline Peters.
How are you feeling now, Tangie? You didn't look too good at rehearsal.
My head's a bit painful, but otherwise I feel all right.
That must have been a nasty crack you got.
It was.
I can't understand it at all. What do you think's going on?
Now, if anybody else asks me that, I'm going to scream.
Oh. I'm sorry.
It's all right, Victor. But I think everybody in the theatre's asked me the same thing. I don't know what's going on. I didn't see anything or anybody.
It's jolly queer. All these things that keep cropping up, you never know what's going to happen next.
I'm so glad your dress wasn't spoilt, Maisie. After I got over the shock, that was the first thing that worried me.
Yes, I should have thought that lilac crepe would have shown every mark.
It did get a bit dusty, but it brushed off.
Okay, I must go. I've got to be at the dressmaker's in 5 minutes.
Well, I'll come with you.
You won't be at rehearsal until later, then?
No. Would you explain to Mr. Brett? I'll get back as soon as I can.
I'll tell him. Cheerio.
Bye-bye. See you later, Victor.